This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. A few years back, Mayor Tom Menino chose an unusual venue for his annual State of the City address, the Strand, a once decrepit historic theater in a gritty part of Dorchester.
This building speaks to Boston's history, to the generations whose struggles and triumphs have shaped our city. It provides a place for residents all across our city to come together for music, performance, and self-expression. For these reasons, we are investing $6 million to save the Strand.
Well, 3 years and all that money later, there hasn't been a whole lot of music, performance, or gathering of any kind at this one-time vaudeville theater. According to a story out yesterday in the Dorchester Reporter, the Strand sits locked most of the year, and its event bookings are far less frequent now than they were in the 1990s, before the city poured $10 million into the building. Here to tell us more about that story is Steve Kirkjian. He's a former Globe reporter and a three-time Pulitzer Prize winner who spearheaded the investigation. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Steve, we just heard Menino speaking at his City of the State, mm-hmm. State of the City address, and it seems like the Strand very much is not living up to the vision that Mayor Menino laid out for it just a few years ago.
Exactly. He had the highest ideals to get this theater active again. Unfortunately, there hasn't been the bustle, the activity under him to pay attention to how to get programming in there, how to get commercial productions in there, whether they be plays, performances, jazz groups. And we had heard about, when we started to focus on it, we had heard about the 90s and what had happened at the 90s. And we reached out and got several people who were involved in the nonprofit during the 90s, and they told us about how they had done it.
When you say what happened in the 90s, yes. Was this at a thriving time for the Strand?
It was thriving, although it was in a far less renovated condition.
Pretty tough condition.
It was a pretty tough condition, but the individuals who were working for the McCormick Center for the Arts at the time knew how to get production in there, and they weren't as concerned with raising the revenue because they had behind them donors, funders, who were willing to take a risk at bringing enterprise in there at low budget costs. That's the problem today. There is no deep pockets because it's run by the city. So the mayor was pretty candid with us when we sat down with him about 10 days ago in sort of figuring out what had happened and how to get ahead of the game again.
Speaking of low-budget costs, your story said that for a group to get a full night at the Strand now, it cost them more than $3,000.
Right.
I mean, it's not hard to understand why small arts groups, even not so small arts groups, might not be able to have that kind of money.
Right. To get the full Strand, that's the 1,400 capacity Strand. You can cut it, if you reduce it by half, you can cut it almost by half. But still, it's going to take a major investment for a community group that wants to put on a production. Tap dancing, ballet, recitals, rehearsals. It's going to take them a significant amount of money. And those production groups do not have the money. So as a result, there's a stalemate. And as a result, the Strand stays pretty much quiet.
We're talking about a story out today in the Dorchester Reporter by Steve Kirkjian, a former Globe reporter who's now helping the Dorchester Reporter with the story. And it basically says that even though the city has put lots of effort and money into the Strand, it's really not anything like it was when there wasn't a lot of money and effort put into the Strand.
Right.
Steve, maybe for a little context for people who may not know the Strand or that neighborhood, give us sort of a line. What is the Strand?
Well, the Strand Theater was it is the last neighborhood theater. And that's what attracted the mayor to it in the city of Boston. If you live in West Roxbury, if you live in Jamaica Plain, if you live in South Boston, you live in East Boston, you cannot go. There are no theaters that you can go to see whether movies or performances. So the mayor, in a last-ditch effort to save the last theater, put money into the Strand. And the Strand, but it doesn't have a projection, you don't see movies there, but you can see. They can put on performances there. And it's in a sort of a low middle class, a working neighborhood. Different ethnics, different races are in there, but it's they need the Strand as far as an anchor to thrive. That neighborhood depends on the Strand to be a thriving neighborhood.
And as you're just starting to say, this isn't so much about just wanting to have a pretty theater in the neighborhood. It's that this could be an economic anchor. I mean, this could draw restaurants and
very
other
much so.
Stores.
Very
and
much so. In fact, the mayor, as I lead the story, said his proudest moment as the mayor was when he was walking out of the Strand 2 years ago, watching a performance of Ain't Misbehavin', and he thought to himself, what a great gathering of Bostonians and out-of-towners here, but there isn't a restaurant here that's open late at night that we all can sort of hang out at. And that was an idea, he said.
So it's a real shame at many levels that a theater like this is not as vibrant as it used to be.
Very much so.
So, Steve, your story appeared today in the Dorchester Reporter. Also with us in the studio today is Bill Forey, who is the editor of the Dorchester Reporter. And Bill, for people who aren't regular readers of the Dorchester Reporter, although you have many of those, you know, this is a paper that's been around almost 30 years. I think your mom and dad started it in a bedroom of their house. And, you know,
yes,
your dad for a while did a little of everything, publisher, reporter, ad guy, public relations guy.
He still does that, yeah, pretty much.
This is a paper that very much wanted to be a community newspaper that would tell you about your school, your church, you know, your little league team. But you've also done some very ambitious work over the past few years.
We feel we have. I mean, we've tried to be to stay within ourselves and not to overreach. We try to do all those things you mentioned, the little leagues and honor rolls and the lineup shots of the local baseball team or whatever it is. But and those things are important to us. But we also want to do the enterprise reporting, the watchdog reporting that we can do within our own limits, and you know, going in kind of holding people accountable, politicians and appointed leaders in our community and civic associations as well. And people who are regular readers of our paper, I think, know that. I think we have a reputation for getting at it every week and trying to dig at the corners a bit. This is a whole new level, though, this partnership we have right now with Northeastern University. And, of course, having Steve Kirkjian working with us takes us to a new level of that.
So Steve Kirkjian, a former Globe reporter, has basically paired up with this small community newspaper. How many reporters do you have? Before Steve came, how many reporters did the Dorchester Reporter have?
We have a half dozen people in our newsroom who are either full or part-time, who come in and work as reporters or editors. Myself, Gin Dumptious is our news editor. Tom Mulvoy, who's actually a very important...
Another former Globe guy.
Yeah, former managing editor of the Globe, has been an associate editor for us for a few years now. So, and we have other young reporters. We also have interns who are from the local university. So one of the things we really enjoy doing in our shop is training young reporters. So this partnership is perfect for us. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things we do well.
So what is adding Steve Kirkjian's firepower to your staff let you do that you couldn't do before?
Besides putting Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter next to a byline, what it enables us to do is really dedicate several weeks to a story, to the kind of stories that need that sort of research, mm-hmm. and really getting into the corners of the neighborhood that maybe we weren't able to commit that kind of time to and resource to, and as well as having a Steve is working hand in hand with Pat Tarantino, who's at Northeastern as well. So it's a two-person team that is really able to tag team a story and get at it.
So we should back up and explain that the reason Steve is at the Dorchester Reporter is that Steve is now part of a new program, or a newish program, at a very new program, actually, at Northeastern University's Journalism Department that has won grants to promote investigative reporting at community news organizations. And we also have with us Walter Robinson, who heads Northeastern's investigative reporting program and who also, like Steve, is a former Globe reporter and a Pulitzer winner. Walter Robinson, thank you, too, for being on Radio Boston.
I'm glad to join you. Thanks.
So your program at Northeastern up till now has been largely you training students to do investigative work. And I think you've had about 16 front page stories on the Globe done by you and your students in 3 years. But this program is an effort to say, okay, let's not just train students. Let's figure out where are the other gaps in the journalism world and where what are the gaps and what are the needs? What is this need that you see in the local journalism world?
Well, you know, the need that extends all the way from the largest daily newspapers down to community newspapers, the need to have more resources in a world in which, as you know, journalistic resources have been diminishing. And, you know, I've always felt as a guy who got his start as a police reporter on the streets of Dorchester for the Globe that, you know, not only is all politics local, but so too are most great news stories. I mean, they are there. They are there to be gotten, as Steve and Bill and Pat were able to get at the Strand theater story. But as Bill said, it's seldom possible to have the resources to devote this kind of in-depth reporting. And so we had a program at Northeastern that involved just students doing investigative stories for the Globe. And there's a lot of interest by foundations now to support investigative journalism initiatives. And we went to the Knight Foundation and the Ethics and Excellence in Journalism Foundation, which is based in Oklahoma. And they're supporting community-based, in-depth watchdog or investigative reporting. And we asked them, would they give us some money to fund a project that would allow us to have someone of the extraordinarily high caliber of Steve Kirkshin and bring experienced Northeastern co-op reporters to work with local news organizations to help them do more of the kind of work that the Dorchester Reporter, for instance, is already known for.
So you're relying on donations and philanthropy and foundations like Knight to try to fund the investigative reporting that newspapers, because of the very hard economic times they're going through, can't really do anymore.
No, they can't. And, you know, even at large newspapers, the ability to do to take reporters and set them on one story for a lengthy period of time, that ability has been diminished as well. I think, the reporter, the Dorchester Reporter, has done extraordinary work over the years with a pretty small staff. And we were just delighted for the opportunity to partner with them because their impulse as a community news organization is just right. You know, they want to do really good reporting. They want to help their community. And, here's an opportunity for Northeastern University and its School of Journalism, with the help of these foundations, to, do something that maybe will benefit Dorchester.
Listeners, at a time when large daily newspapers have really scaled back their local coverage, you know, we want to know if you think this is the future of community journalism. Are there stories in your town or your neighborhood that you think should be investigated? Would you like to see reporters like former Steve Kirkshin, formerly of the Boston Globe, team up with your local newspaper and do that? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Bill Forey, editor of the Dorchester Reporter, when you have the opportunity to pair up with someone like Steve Kirkshin, give us a sense of some of the stories you would have liked to have done if you could have done this, but you just felt like we don't have the resources, we don't have the know-how. What, anything you can reveal that you think you might be able to do now that you have Steve?
Don't give up too much.
Well, obviously the Strand Theater story speaks for itself. This is the kind of story we would have liked to have done 2 years ago. Right. In fairness, I think this was the right time to do it because it's time that you can test the track record mm-hmm. that's happened since that State of the City speech you gave. But, there's other stories. We really want to get into institutional Dorchester and set some, take the temperature of some of the important institutions. The Strand is an example. There are others that this community is dependent on, whether it's for jobs or for the being economic engines, as you said, in villages around the community. And then we also want to just do accountability stories, right. Holding, as I said, our elected officials accountable, but also our unelected officials, folks mm-hmm. who sometimes aren't held accountable because there's no opportunity to go to the voting booth and elect them.
Steve, tell me what this is like for you. I mean, you're used to writing for a giant daily newspaper, huge circulation, nice paycheck. Tell us, what is this like? Are you even being paid for the work you're doing now?
Oh, yes, I'm being paid. Thank you. But it's the same kind of reporting that I did in the Globe newsroom in a nice office and with all the resources of the Globe ahead of me at my hand. You pick up the phone. Tell people what you're focused on. You convince them it's the best thing for them to talk to you about, and you draw pretty tight lines about what you're going to be, hopefully, going to be able to say. This is not an enterprise in which I'm trying to put cuffs on people. What I'm trying to do is try to explain these very complicated systems, institutions that service, whether they be Dorchester or South Boston or Quincy or whatever. These are very complicated services. And they're provided by agencies that are pretty much veiled from, what happened here. And one thing I think I've learned how to do over my career of almost 40 years with the Globe is to explain to the public officials that it's in their best interest to talk to us, to explain to us what happened here and why they're not living up to the you know, the high expectations that they let people think they were going to be able to provide.
We have a call from a John from Everett. John, thank you for calling Radio Boston.
Hi. There are three local newspapers in Everett, and from what I understand, they have ads from the school department, which number, and over the last couple of years, a couple of $100,000 in ads, right, spread among the three newspapers. And it's ridiculous in scope to what other cities and towns around us pay for ads in local newspapers. And nobody's going to investigate that because there's three newspapers who are all, you know, drinking off the milk of the cow. I'd love to see that investigated. And we have a superintendent of schools who's, you know, authorizing those ads, who is essentially using them to pump up his image, and he's had problems. He's had ethical problems and legal problems. And
but John, people get complain about how government isn't working or isn't responsive and they can't get anything to move. All you have to do is pick up the phone and find a newspaper around you. May not be one of the three newspapers in Everett, but certainly there's papers around there that are credible, including the Globe, that would take your call and would listen. And one thing, you know, they teach us right from the beginning in any newsroom is to listen hard to what a person is saying and try to deal straight with them as to whether or not it can lead to a story.
On the phone with us also is Walter Robinson, who runs the program at Northeastern University that has enabled Steve to pair up with Bill Foray at the Dorchester Reporter. Walter Robinson, you also will be working soon with a website in Cambridge, something much more below the radar even than the Dorchester Reporter. Can you tell us briefly about what that project will be?
That's a different kettle of fish. Thanks for mentioning that. We're about to start a partnership also with a one-person website, CambridgeDay.com, run by a really hardworking, run part-time by a really hardworking young journalist named Mark Levy, who's done some really good reporting in Cambridge, which, to my mind, given that city and its population and all the interesting things that go on there, gets very little in-depth coverage, and certainly not much in the way of investigative or watchdog reporting.
So you're going to team up with one person. I'm wondering, how much impact can this really have ultimately? Is this going to yield anything?
Well, you know, our objective here is to work with community news organizations, and the one we're talking about here is really sort of a startup, and if it does. It already does good journalism, and if we can help it do more good journalism that gets attention, then I think, you know, there's some chance it will increase the economic viability of that sort of operation. I mean, one always hopes that that's the case.
I should note that today your story, Steve, in the Dorchester Reporter, Bill, your story in your newspaper, was an item on Universal Hub, which is a very widely read blog in Boston. So clearly other media outlets are picking this up and running with it. And Bill, are you hoping that's what will happen? If your paper alone can't get the eyes, are you hoping other papers will be forced, based on the Dorchester Reporter's reporting, to say, okay, we're going to have to follow this too?
Well, I guess in some way I hope they do, but I'm not too worried about what other news organizations will or won't do. I'm thrilled that Universal Hub picks it up because I really admire the work that Adam Gaffin does with that outlet, and we've actually partnered with Adam on some things in the past. So we're open to partnerships, of course, but there's so much that all of us as individual news organizations need to do and just haven't been able to get to yet. There's plenty of stories out there for everybody to do, and in my view, we're just going to do our part the best we can. This certainly enhances our capacity to a whole new degree.
Mm. We've been talking about a new effort to boost the investigative resources of community newspapers, and we've had Bill Foray, who's the editor of the Dorchester Reporter, which today ran a story written in part by Steve Kirkchin, a former Globe reporter and three-time Pulitzer Prize winner who's now a senior investigative fellow at Northeastern University. And we've had with us the man who started this program, Walter Robinson, who heads Northeastern's investigative reporting program. He, too, is a former Globe reporter and former Pulitzer winner. Bill, Walter, and Stephen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Seth.
Up next, you might be used to picking up the newspaper on the tee, but how about a free short story instead? The Boston Book Festival launches its One City, One Story program. We'll talk with the Selected Stories author, Boston's own Tom Parada. We'll continue this conversation after a break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.